You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day. Therefore, it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. Greg, it could have been a lot worse, actually. And it could get worse, of course, because the S&P is currently down 25 points at this time, 25 minutes past five South African time. But it wasn't that bad in the end on the JSE.
Yes, I mean, this morning we had sort of that sinking feeling in the stomach, and we'd had a bad day Tuesday and big volume sell-off day, quite scary, and then the developed markets all marked quite sharply down, so we were expecting a disaster here. But I think what we were seeing yesterday was the last of the selling that needed to be done, and so the market bounced up 1% today. The stocks which were knocked back yesterday, the banks, financials, bouncing back fairly decently. A lot of traders saying, okay, that's a good start, but we need a follow through. And so it's going to be sort of watching the next 24 hours is going to be interesting.
Okay, give this play a nice backdrop by giving us the indexes, please.
Sure. The banking index up 2.8%, financials up 1.8%, industrials up 1.3%, retailers up 1%, the gold index up 2.2%. Platts up 2.39. Resources let us down a little bit, down 0.85. And that left the all share up 1%, 566 points better, 54,997. So with a whisker of 55. And in fact, the high for the day was 55,076. Volume a solid 19.4 billion.
It's not bad, because this isn't a case of a split decision on the JSE. In other words, domestic stocks doing badly and us being rescued by the Rand hedge stocks because of the weakness in the Rand. Banks up 2.8%. I can't understand it. I don't know why on earth they've suddenly bounced back on a day when they had every right to be down 2.8%.
I do think that some of that selling from the MSCI index we discussed on the pod yesterday, that sort of exaggerated the move downwards yesterday. And so you're coming off such a low base there that 2.8, but surely it must be one of the few cases in the history of the JSE where you've had a weakening rand and stronger banking and financial stock. It's normally the other way around. So a day to ponder for sure.
Yeah, indeed. There were a couple of results out this morning, and the one that really stood out, we spoke about it on the opening, was Pepkor. And at one stage, I think around about 9:30 this morning, it was down 4.2%. How did it end?
Yeah, it rallied quite nicely. The lows were right about when we were chatting this morning, just looking at the intraday chart. It finished down just over 2%, 17.32, after putting in a low of 16.40. Volume of 3.7 million shares, that's 65 million rand. So a nice recovery in line with the recovery in the retail index itself.
Yes, indeed. There was a result, or rather an announcement out from Aspen Pharmacare clearing up a sale of one of its divisions again to Lactalis, I think it was. How did that form?
Yeah, initially, as we were saying on the news, it almost feels as though these algos can actually read these sense announcements, and they start buying, and then everyone jumps on the back of that, and we had a spike up to a high of 98 rand odd, finished the day at 92 rand 14, so down 0.5%. So perhaps the market's saying, look, you've given us a repeat of a story we have seen. Give us something fresh.
I was talking to Wayne McCurry earlier on, Greg, about the malaise in the South African boardroom and general bad performance from corporate South Africa. And we sort of picked out, or I sort of picked out as a case study, let's say in 5 years' time, and you're teaching a whole bunch of new stockbrokers coming into your firm, or interns or something, you say, right, this is what happened back in the day, as you often put it. You say Famous Brands is a classic example. Famous Brands, a brilliant company with Steers and Wimpy and all that sort of thing, and they're doing very well. Then they start buying up everything. All you have to do is open a shop and do well, sell some buns and make a bit of profit, and Famous Brands are going to buy it from you. Eventually they bought everything, so they go overseas and they think, right, we can teach these Brits a thing or two about burgers, and they go out and buy, and they get a little bit ahead of themselves, and before you know it, they've made a big mistake, and the UK high street has gone into decline, and the footfall for the last 7 months has gone down, and that's a figure I saw today. People are not going to the high street anymore. There's too much competition over there. We don't really understand the environment, despite the fact we're all cocky and think that we do. And both economies also don't serve us very well. It's a classic case of everything going wrong after everything going right.
Sure, really, really, very much the case. I mean, you realize, and as you were reviewing there, it was a case. You sort of imagined various brands starting up, and you could, all the founders of those brands here, luckily, were going in the back of their minds, look, our backup plan is to dress this thing up, let it make profits for a few years, and I'm sure famous brands will come in. And you know, they are brilliant managers of businesses, the logistics, they got the costs down, they bought the, you know, the right spaces. There's a road in Schlange Rocks, which I'm quite fond of. Oh, yeah. It's got row after row of restaurants. They bang one in there, and if it doesn't do well for 6 months, they pull that one out and they put one of the other brands in there. So you've always got, you know, the ones which are doing the most well sort of lined up, the Mexican, the steakhouse, you know, the breakfast spots all next to each other. But as you say, went one too far. I think of, you know, foreigners which own businesses, they hear the South African accent on the phone, and their eyes light up.
Yeah, add another nought to that, Robinson, in accounts.
Because if something similar happened, I mean, it's not the same, but with Sasol, they must have thought, wow, we'll sell them this Lake Charles story. They'll come steaming in. And it's a sad sort of state of affairs, really. We just haven't managed to really pull off anything too successfully.
How refreshing to see a South African, a proud South African, being a little bit self-deprecating. Greg, Santam Limited, operational update to shareholders following the AGM held on the 29th of May. How are they operating?
Yeah, I mean, the share, I think this is the second trading update they've given. It looks pretty solid. I mean, speaking of South African companies, it's very, very well run. A company with a lot of history behind it. As I said, the share up slightly today, 302.63, but it has been one of the better performers on the market over the last year or so.
Overseas stock markets, the S&P as we speak going to new lows, down 28. The thing that worries me about that is that in December it was cast in stone that there would be 2 to 3 interest rate hikes in the United States during 2019. Suddenly, 6 months later, we're going to get 1 or 2 interest rate cuts. And to me, that's fine. You can change your mind and conditions change. But the uncertainty that it engenders in the minds of investors, especially at this time of year when things might get a little bit thin in the United States as it's holiday period, I don't know. It just, again, something brewing here, Greg. And the last thing we need at the moment with our own local political and economic and corporate uncertainty is something to go wrong overseas.
Yes, I mean, I think that's where the doom and gloom came from this morning. You know, at one point we can almost rely on the developed markets to give us direction and give us certainty. But, you know, I think sort of post those initial tweets of Mr. Trump reheating this China trade war, you know, about 3 weeks ago, it's destabilized the market. Then, as you say, you need if you're a long-term investor, you need to know what interest rates are going to do. If you create uncertainty, I think Mr. Trump was, you know, sort of trying to tell the Fed how to do their jobs, really, and that was concerning. I see the Dow over 300 points down right now.
Yeah, it is. Let's have a look at the top 5 major movers to the upside and the downside on the JSE Securities Exchange on this Wednesday afternoon after the close. Fortress B, Greg, 8% higher. We were having a go at property companies this morning, and suddenly look at this thing.
Yeah, that's the standout, the most valuable players, they call them, American basketball. Mm. Fortress, 8.7%, R11.36. And it was a share that was sort of stuck in a range sort of 10.50 to 11 for quite a long time. I think it was one of the counters which had a lower rating in this MSCI rebalance that we've experienced over the last 2 weeks, and obviously notably yesterday. But it traded quite well in the closing auction yesterday, and some strong buying coming in today, pushing back to sort of, I think, highs so far for the year. And not some quite good volume, about 50 million rands worth of shares trading.
Very good indeed. Vivo, we can discount. RCL, we can discount because it's up and down like something which I can't say on family podcasts. Telkom, up 4.1% today. Also been volatile this week.
Well, that one's taken us on a wild ride, as we were saying on Twitter yesterday, sort of. Pre-results Friday afternoon, 85, 86 area, took us all the way to 98. And then yesterday, spent most of the day coming down. Opening trades this morning dropped from 85 down to 81. We thought, well, that's the end of that bull run. And in the afternoon, some buying came back, 88 rand 30. Is some market chatter that has been a script recall. Well, technically, can sometimes push the share price. People have to buy shares back. So 88.30, that's up 4% for the day. So certainly back in play, Telkom, for sure. I think they gave the presentation as well today to, you know, post the results. And obviously that was well accepted by investors.
Naspers well accepted by investors as well today, 4.1% up. What's the story there? Did they like the fact that there has been some clarification about NewCo and the Amsterdam shift?
Yeah, well, it has been falling, but yeah, I think they bought the dates a lot closer forward than people were expecting. A bit more clarity, giving us some detail on director's shareholding and how that's going to be affected. But I think that was kind of the thing which saved the market today. When Naspers opened stronger, it kind of gave people confidence to come back in the market. But that's a huge move. 126 Rand higher, 4% better. Turnover there, 3.7 billion. So we can thank Naspers once again for that 19 billion figure we've done today.
On the downside, MC Group down 2.25%, used to be part of Naspers, of course. South 32 down 2.25% as well. Anglo down 2.2%. Pepcor, we've spoken about that, 2.1% weaker, and British American Tobacco. We have spoke about that extensively this morning with that Bloomberg article about the research report from Citi about the declining cigarette volumes. British American Tobacco down 2%. MC Group, is that also the MSCI story?
Well, it's difficult to say. Yes, certainly they were affected. But I mean, the results I'm looking forward to is going to be the 14th of June. That'll obviously be the first set of results is reported as a separate company. And honestly, you know, the share was trading close to 129, 130 Rand for the last couple of weeks. On a 30 PE, it probably looked a little bit pricey. It's a stock which is not really loved because, for some reason, DStv's are very much a grudge purchase for South Africans. You know, I think for 900 Rand, what you get is great value, but everyone wants to argue with me. But share price finishing 121 Rand, turnover of 2 million shares, 246 million. It actually has been quite a fun share to trade, a welcome addition to the JSE.
Yeah, indeed. And thank you very much to the MC Group for allowing me to watch Chelsea versus Arsenal this evening live from Baku, which is the capital of Azerbaijan, Greg. And the only reason you know about that is because you're a Formula One fan and they introduced that particular Grand Prix, what, about 3 years ago, I think.
Yes, I mean, that's the thing. 900 Rand a month for DStv and you're front rowed every Formula One. It's, you know, the ticket to go watch Formula One at that level is probably 65,000 Rand, so I can attest to. So for 900 bucks, I'll take that trade.
Thank you very much. Dollar Rand is 14.75, British Pound against the Rand 18.61, and the Euro Rand 16.42, excuse me. The Euro dollar continues to strengthen, the dollar that is, 111.30 now, and that's despite the fact that interest rates are predicted to fall this year in the United States. All the rules have gone out the window. Let's have a look and see what that currency movement has done to the gold price. The gold price, perversely, has come off its highs this morning from... No, actually, it's not perversely, of course, because the dollar's stronger, excuse me, up $2 to $12.81, the gold price. The platinum price is $7.94, down $6, and the palladium price is unchanged at $13.37. But what is definitely not unchanged is the Brent crude oil price, which is $68.88, falling quite sharply, down $1.29 or nearly 2%. How are those overseas markets looking live now, Greg?
Yeah, as you're saying, there's something's lurking here in these markets. It's unsettling the way all these currencies and commodities are trading. The Dow at the moment down 307 points. I see London, I think, finished down. Oh, it's still trading down 87 odd points. So, you know, developed markets still under pressure. Too many unknowns at the moment, I think.
You claim to be a Manchester United fan, but you've never been to Old Trafford, despite the fact that you're stricken in years in your early 50s, Greg. But if you were a football supporter, as you claim to be, and you were in London and you were either supporting Arsenal or Chelsea, would you travel 4,000 kilometres via two flights and then a slow train from Georgia to get to Baku in Azerbaijan, which is what they're having to do? There's no direct flights to Baku from the United Kingdom, and it's around about a 60-hour journey. Would you do that?
Yeah, I think we're going to see the most hardened fans there tonight, because that's even too much. At age 51, I don't think I could manage it.
Bit of a stretch, isn't it? Greg Davies, thank you very much for your time this evening. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that podcast was proudly brought to you by sharenet.co.za. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with ShareNet.co.za.